Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, the Sunday night podcast. And it is, well, let's see here. It is episode 23-15. And I apologize for not being able to do a show last week. It was one of those work on the property, work on the ranch, doing repair type days. And it got away from us, fencing and repairing fencing, and turned into quite a project. So by the time I got really done with what we had to get done, it was like right up against, there was just not enough time to put it together. So anyway, that was a time management thing on my part. I just had to make a decision to get the job done that I was in the middle of, that we were in the middle of. And well, like most projects, you know, they take way longer than you originally anticipated. So I just had to make a decision there. But hopefully you guys were able to tune in and catch us each weekday morning for the morning commute. Now, this evening, I wanted to address a couple things. First of all, there was, I think, a really good two-part series at Survival Blog, which we all love and read regularly. And there was a two-part series covering the topic of civil defense, restoring, or I guess kind of revisiting civil defense, talking about what it was, the history of it, and is there a chance of us reviving the civil defense program that many of us remember from the Cold War era? Of course, I grew up in the you know, 70s and 80s. Mostly. And so I remember that. I was at the tail end of that. I was in high school when President Reagan was president, and I went in the military, actually, when he was still president, right at the end of his presidency. So I was in the military when the wall fell. I remember that it was, what a historical time, and what a historical time to have been stationed in Germany when the wall fell. I was literally in Berlin 2 weeks prior to the wall coming down. And so I went on a trip to Berlin, and we got to see Checkpoint Charlie and the wall and do all the tours and, you know, see East Germany and all of that. Come back, and 2 weeks later, everybody's saying, turn on the TV, turn on the TV, the wall's falling. The wall's coming down, and we're saying, what wall? The wall, the Berlin Wall. And we're like, what? So, yeah, it caught us all by surprise. Of course, everybody was glued to the TV. I remember the speech, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, by President Reagan. Very interesting. What a remarkable time to be, you know, a young man stationed in Germany during all of that. But it takes us back to the Cold War era, where everything was civil defense. I remember in grade school, and I don't remember it after that ever taking place, but the drills with the siren would go off and we would practice getting under our desks. And very few schools did that even then, but this was a small town, small school, and they actually still did that. So I remember discussions of, you know, nuclear war and civil defense and civil defense shelters, which I'm not sure if our town had any civil defense shelters except for at our school, which is basically just the basement where the coal room was. But I do remember seeing signs for, you know, fallout shelters and things like that, and asking my mom, what's that about? That was my first exposure to it. And I found it fascinating. as a kid, and as an adult, you know, I studied up on that and getting into, you know, becoming a, I wouldn't say I'm a hardcore full blown prepper, but I consider myself a prepper. And, so, you know, I've studied that over the years. And so this article brought up the question, should we bring back civil defense? Well, I have some of my own thoughts on that. And I think we can pretty much forget about any federal program, a civil defense program whatsoever. I'll just say that up front. But then something else I want to address. I've been getting a lot of emails and texts from people sending pictures or sending links to articles talking about the military is on the move. The military is deploying troops in cities around America right now. And I also have some thoughts on that. So I just want to put your mind at ease. There is an extremely low probability that the military movement that we're seeing right now has anything to do with locking down cities and the military in imposing martial law out of the blue. So that is, I am firmly convinced what you're seeing is not what some people are saying it is. So without that, or without further ado, having said that, let's get into the news and commentary. The news and commentary brought to you by Prepping 2.0, the website and the podcast to help take your preps to the next level. Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher over there. And that is the website, prepping2-0.com. All right, now going into some of these news stories here, I'm just going to brush over them. I'm not going to go real deep into any of these. I do have an audio clip, though, I just have to play, by the chief clown about Mexico and how Mexico's government and president is begging us to stop sending them guns because people are dying. Anyway, House Republicans from Elizabeth Vegas reports, House Republicans have launched an investigation into DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas's handling of the southern border. I would say mishandling. Ollie Bradley spoke with the former Border Patrol agents who criticized Mayorkas and the chaos at the border. They're actually moving forward in Congress with impeachment action over his mishandling of the border situation. And we're following that. I really hope that they follow through with that, because these people are the enemy of America. You cannot accidentally bungle this job as Department of Homeland Security chief in charge of securing our borders and do as poorly as they are doing accidentally. This is especially when we have seen funding with these non-government organizations that are funded through the UN by the United States, assisting illegal immigrants with entering the United States, to include apps for their phones where it was leaked that they are guiding these illegal immigrants on where to cross and giving them information on where border enforcement is located so that they can bypass them. And this doesn't happen by accident. These are enemies of America. So take him down. Speaking of enemies, enemies of the people, enemies of children, Illinois has become the first state to punish public libraries for banning books. Oh, it's horrible. This is the big taboo. The thing you can't do is ban books. Oh, you're a horrible, oppressive, wicked, evil person if you ban books. Well, the books that we're talking about are sexually explicit books having to do with sexual perversion, with children being the target of these books. Homosexual acts with children graphically described or pictured, not photographs, but illustrations that are drawn that are absolutely reprehensible. These people that produce this material, these people that order the material and put it on the bookshelf should all be charged. They should be removed at the very least and then charged. Unbelievable. The president of Cuba, Miguel Diaz-Canel, convened this last Wednesday a summit of the heads of state and the government of the group of 77, G77, plus China, scheduled to be held in Havana on September 15th and next September 15th and 16th. The call by the Cuban president is made in his capacity as pro tempore president of the group, and meeting will have its cross-cutting theme, current development challenges, role of science, technology, and innovation. Now, this came out at the same time we started seeing reports that the, and I believe it was the Wall Street Journal that first broke it, about China putting in a spy station, essentially, electronics intelligence monitoring station in Cuba. So they were working together. Russia now is renewing or reinvigorating their political relations with Cuba and looking forward to developing new partnerships with their old friend. At the same time, we've got China putting up a electronics monitoring station, which obviously is aimed toward collecting intelligence on the United States. With their close proximity there, able to communicate and monitor what's going on with our military and other activities in the United States. Now, the Biden regime and the Department of Defense said they have no knowledge of this. In fact, they played it down as if this is something that's like not even, doesn't even exist. They're saying these are rumors. They denounced the rumors that China was putting in a intelligence monitoring facility there for signals intelligence. Well, now they're saying, well, that it they have something, but it's totally being overblown. And then pressed further, they're changing their story again. So the Biden regime now is saying, well, yeah, the Chinese have intelligence gathering efforts there and monitoring stations, but they always have. We inherited this. So they went from, nope, it doesn't exist, this is all a lie, to, well, it does exist, but it's not anything like what it's being made out to be. Now, it does exist, and it's a horrible thing, but they inherited it from the previous administration. This is something that's been there all along. Didn't they do the same thing with the balloons? The balloon is just like totally not a threat. Oh, now it's a threat. But it's always happened, even since Trump. Well, which was a lie. But that's what these guys do, is lie. Michigan, a Detroit area community, has banned LGBTQ plus flags from publicly owned poles. In other words, government, city government buildings will no longer fly LGBTQ flags. After a tense, hours-long meeting that raised questions about discrimination, religion, and the city's reputation for welcoming newcomers. Well, this Michigan city, the leftists were praising this city's progress because not long ago they elected a Muslim mayor. And if I'm not mistaken, they had Muslims also on the city council. So the left was saying, this is a great step forward for diversity. Now, they're not so sure. Because now these Muslims are saying, we don't want this LGBT stuff. It's not going to have it. So now the left is melting down. They've got themselves in a little quandary here. Big Breaking Wire is repeating several stories that have come out recently saying that the U.S. government agencies were hit in a global cyber attack this last week, a global cyber attack leveraging a vulnerability in commonly used software has targeted multiple federal government agencies in the United States. But they're not saying precisely what was affected by it. They're just saying that they were under a massive cyber attack that was aimed at government agencies. And that's all we know so far, which is not a big surprise. They want to be able to spy on other people. They don't like it when other people spy on them or hack them or disrupt them. From Wired magazine, the U.S. is openly stockpiling dirt on all its citizens. A newly declassified report from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence reveals that the federal government is buying troves of data about Americans. It's called fascism. Well, and finally, Biden yells, "We are sending dangerous weapons, particularly assault weapons." Although it's hard to understand that without the subtitles because of his slurred speech, but he mumbled his way through this, crying about weapons being sent to Mexico. Listen to this.
You know what I get when we're talking about the fentanyl at the border and all that? I speak with the president of Mexico. Will you stop sending guns to us? We are sending dangerous weapons, particularly assault weapons, to Mexico. To Mexico. They're asking us, please stop it. Cut it off at the border.
Can you believe that? He's trying to make this a gun policy issue. Like gun sales are just out of control and we're sending guns. Guns would not be making it across the border if we had a secure border. You wouldn't be talking to the president of Mexico about fentanyl coming across our border if we secured our borders. You're completely arguing about the wrong thing. And it's as if all of their weapons are coming from the United States. Well, first of all, have a little discussion with the ATF about selling guns to the cartels. But it was just last week we saw a cartel member with a AT-4 slung over his, an anti-tank rocket launcher, an AT-4 slung over his back. And those came from Ukraine. Reports indicate that came from Ukraine. Weapons that we're sending to Ukraine that are finding their way onto the black market. Who knows where else? And not to mention how many U.S. weapons have found their way onto the black market from Afghanistan, which were abandoned by this hypocrite. So we don't want to hear any sniveling about guns going to Mexico. What we want to hear is that our border is secure and for it not to be a lie. Anyway, that's what you would expect from a communist coup. Exactly what we're seeing there. Anyway, stick around. We'll be back with segment 2 right after this. Stay there, Patriots.
One podcast dares to be different.
And things she says that are over the top, like...
The Democrats are a party of pedophiles.
I would definitely say so. They support grooming children.
They are not pedophiles. Why would you say that?
Democrats support, even Joe Biden, the president himself, supports children being sexualized and having transgender surgeries. Sexualizing children is what pedophiles do to children.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back to segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt. Segment two here, I'm going to discuss something that I talk about quite a bit. Civil defense, especially civil defense communications, although I'm not going to place heavy emphasis on the communications portion here, but we are at AMCON 5, which is the lowest readiness level, which means we are training regularly and we're continuously maintaining our equipment, but there are no known immediate threats to our communications or power grid infrastructures. So we are at AMCON 5, but we are getting ready for the annual exercise, which will be July 21st through the 23rd, Friday through Sunday. And you can go to amron.com to learn more about that exercise. T-Rex, the nationwide grid down simulated emergency exercise with emphasis on communications. So, of course, AMRON exists for emergencies and civil defense communications. I'm going to talk about that, civil defense, and this two-part series from Survival Blog. But first, I want to cover something about reports of military mobilizing in the streets of America. Something's going down. Somebody's preparing for something. Our military's on the move. Our military is gaining a war footing in America. So there's an article by J.D. Rucker over at the Liberty Daily, and it's titled, "Is There a Military Mobilization Happening Within Our Borders?" I'll read the first couple paragraphs. And he's not saying there is. He's asking if there is. He's asking the readership of the Liberty Daily, do you guys know of anything going on? Because I'm getting bombarded with reports of military movements in the United States. Well, I have too. I've gotten several texts and emails, people asking and, of course, sending me links to some of these very low credibility website talk show guys that continuously are putting out the sky is falling, the government is mobilizing, they're going to start taking food from us, they're going to start kicking our doors in by this time next week. And of course it always comes and goes and never happens. Now I'm not saying that couldn't happen in the future, but the problem is continuously crying wolf, saying something is happening when it's not, has a it has a dulling effect. Anyway, this is what J.D. Rucker poses to the readership of Liberty Daily, which I follow daily. He says, "Generally, I write articles that offer answers, solutions, or truths. This time I'm genuinely asking because there has been a massive uptick in the number of reports of military mobilization happening across America in urban and rural areas alike. To be very clear, it's impossible for a news outlet of our size to accurately source all of the videos and fact check all of the reports. Again, this is why I'm asking the question. With that said, here are some of the recent reports." And a lot of these are Twitter or other social media feeds where somebody takes a picture of military vehicles loaded onto rail cars and the train is sitting there parked, or it's going by and somebody takes video or pictures of it. And, here's one, for example, a convoy going down an American highway with Humvees and other military vehicles. There's another one. Reportedly from Philadelphia, where you have a Hemet and Humvees that are driving in, and I think a Stryker vehicle, driving in the city. I believe it's Philadelphia, clearly an American city. Someone said, "This is fake news. These are not even military troops, and this is not even in the United States." Well, I beg to differ. It is in the United States. They are American troops. They're American uniforms. Military unit insignia on the left shoulder, and you look at the street signs. How many Walnut Avenue do you find in other countries? I mean, it's clearly The road signage and everything else is North American. There's no doubt about it. These are clearly American, like United States troops and vehicles. So are they getting ready to take over America's streets or what? Well, right now, this takes me back to Jade Helm in 2015. Operation Jade Helm was a major special operations exercise. And you had the usual suspects claiming that they are getting ready to round up Americans, that this is, they're calling this a training exercise only as a cover, because this is a real exercise. Special operations are going to begin rounding people up, targeting patriots. And I said, that's not what's happening. This is a military exercise, and it is a training exercise only. And of course, you know, those of us who said they're not using a training exercise as a cover for a real operation to start rounding patriots up this summer. This is in 2015. And the people who wanted it to be true so badly were calling those of us who were saying this is a training operation. This is not, they're not going to be rounding patriots up under the cover of this exercise. We're calling us traitors. We're calling us agents, you know, operatives that are putting out disinformation to, well, obviously it came and went. My background is the special operations community. And also I was a DOD contractor, and I've been involved in major training exercises. I know what they look like. I know what this looks like. I know the people in the special operations community. If you're going to start rounding up patriots, using the special operations community exclusively would be the wrong group of people to be rounding up patriots, because most of the people in the special operations community are patriots. That would be the wrong demographic to choose to specifically target and round up patriots and disarm them and so on. But anyway, let's bring it back up to 2023, this most recent wave of reports about military movement in America's streets. This is June. June is the most heavily active month for reserves and Army National Guard, or Marine National, or Marine Reserves, Army Reserves, the National Guard units have to conduct annual training once a year. It's 2 weeks they deploy to the field. You'll see these sometimes in April, really start picking up in May, and then the bulk of them take place in June. And that's when every year, we see convoys of National Guard and reserve units going up and down our highways and in our city streets and stopping at our truck stops on their way to or from their annual training exercises. Now, all military vehicles have bumper numbers, and you can look now with the internet, you can look up to find out what these bumper numbers are. I'm looking at one in particular here. On the back of this Humvee, somebody took a picture driving down the freeway, and this convoy is in the right-hand lane, and you can see very clearly 362MEB. It's a painted-on bumper number on the back corner of the Humvee. Right underneath that, 479BN. That's 479th Battalion. The 302MEB is Maneuver Enhancement Brigade. They're all on Wikipedia now, and they all have their own Facebook pages, all these military units. So it doesn't take any effort to look up and find out, well, the 302nd Maneuver Enhancement Brigade is an Army Reserve Brigade, and the 479th Battalion is a combat engineer. It's a combat engineer. So a 479th Engineer Battalion, and you can look up on the internet, there they are, the 479th Engineer Battalion. So, which falls underneath the the 302nd MEB, the Maneuver Enhancement Brigade. Very clearly, an Army Reserve unit. If you look at all the bumper numbers on all these vehicles, overwhelmingly, they're going to come back as Reserve and National Guard units. If they are going to be carrying out operations, you'll see political narratives going along to support that. January 6th, for example, terrorist right hand, they're going to have to get ahead of the information campaign, the propaganda campaign to justify rounding people up, because once something like that starts, then there's going to be an uproar across the country. And so they will begin preparing the battlefield, so to speak, with public information campaign, aka propaganda, to justify these types of moves. There's been pure silence. All we do is we see military vehicles on the road taking pictures. What are these guys up to? This is it. They are mobilizing. We've gone to a war footing in America and all this other terminology when it's not. Now, that's very much a possibility in our future, but there will be indicators that will lead up to that. And we need to learn to discern between normal activity. Plus, look, China, Taiwan, Russia, NATO is going to a war footing. There's no question about that. Our militaries, it's like a giant battleship. It's slow to turn, right? So you're seeing a gradual uptick in military training and readiness and preparing for mobilization, for the eventuality of it, and so on. So the trains, we see trains all the time. Seen it for years and years and years. Armored vehicles, Humvees, every military vehicle of every sort, loaded onto rail cars. That is the most efficient and most cost-effective way to move a lot of military equipment across the country from point A to point B. We see this a lot. It is a common way to move military equipment around. Rail is a very common method for moving our military equipment. You're going to have a unit deployed, let's say, to National Training Center. Well, National Training Center has a massive motor pool. A lot of them, they will transport the troops there, and then they will sign out the vehicles, the same types of vehicles they have in their unit, that will use that for training. It's kind of like a rental car, but it's a rental tank. And that comes out of their unit's budget to pay for the use of these vehicles, Humvees and armor and things like that, because it's much cheaper than transporting or putting wear and tear on your own vehicles, convoying them there for the big month-long training exercise. A lot of these major training centers, they will have motor pools that you'll draw off your vehicles from, but a lot of them, they will transport vehicles to where they are going to train. They'll get them all loaded up a month before your unit deploys for the training exercise, put them on rail, and there are DOD contracted companies that remove these, unload the vehicles. So by the time your unit gets there in buses or you fly them, all your troops show up, all your vehicles are there waiting for you. So this is very common too. Anyway, I just wanted to address that because there's a lot of alarmism going on right now. And we should be sensitive to what's going on around us just because of the political atmosphere that we're in. We just went through a coup 2.5 years ago. And they're getting increasingly aggressive toward those they perceive as to be a threat. That's patriots. I mean, extremists and conservatives. I mean, terrorists. And so, we're hypersensitive right now, but we also need to make sure that we're using good discernment when we do see things like this. We see military equipment and so on. There will be a time for that. And you know what? Maybe this is just an opportunity. When it does come to that, or we find ourselves invaded in the future. Intelligence reporting, collecting and reporting is going to be extremely important. Use these as training opportunities. Practice filling out a salute report, size, activity, location, unit, time, and equipment, how you would spot an enemy adversary. Oh, there's some military vehicles. Great training opportunity. How many vehicles? What direction? What were the bumper numbers? You know, what units? Was this MP, infantry? You know, was this MEB, unit, engineer battalion, medical? And practice filling out your spot report, your salute report. Other than that, just stay alert, use discernment, and let's make sure that we're not also becoming alarmists. And there's a balance there. You see something, you should report it to the Patriot community. But it's not always what some of the bloggers are saying. We're not about ready to be rolled up next week. Or at least extremely low probability of that. So anyway, when we come back, let's talk about civil defense and how it applies to us.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Welcome back to segment 3, Patriots. This is Radio Free Redoubt, episode 23-15, the 15th podcast of 2023. And in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about civil defense. This is a pretty cool topic for me. It's something that's been a topic of interest for a long time. This article was written by 3AD Scout and submitted to Survival Blog, where they posted his both of us, a two-part series at Survival Blog. So you can go check that out for yourself as well, and I encourage you to do that. So he starts off with a little bit of the history about civil defense, what it was all about, how it started, and then kind of how it went away. And it did go away. The Department of Homeland Security, the FEMA, in 1979, FEMA was formed. It took over civil defense duties. Soon after, the concept of crisis relocation was adopted by the United States government. Crisis relocation was, their idea was, look, a full nuclear exchange, we're fooling ourselves. Nobody's going to survive it. So the best thing we can do, instead of telling people to get under a desk, tell them to get out of the area. So let's relocate populations. So they started this relocation program. And crisis relocation is what they called it. Of course, that didn't go over very well because, first of all, nobody wants to be told they have to be, relocated. But secondly, the communities where they were targeting for, this is where we need to move the masses out of the city, they all need to come here. Well, these communities were going, here? No, we can't. We we can't take 100,000 people, you know, in an emergency. So we're going to have to work something out. Something out. So in 1985, the concept and the planning for this crisis relocation had been largely eliminated. This according to an article in the New York Times. Before a new civil defense plan could be created, the Soviet Union collapsed. The perceived need for civil defense collapsed with the Soviet Union. Since the mid-1990s, there have been no actions taken for civil defense for nuclear war for the civilian population. So let me jump ahead further in the article. He said, do we even need to reactivate civil defense activities? First, the end of the Cold War should not have ended civil defense planning. Why? Because nuclear weapons did not disappear. The likelihood that those weapons would be used may have been diminished, but that could change due to the ever-changing geopolitical landscape, as we are seeing and hearing in the present day. It is naive to think that the number of nations with nuclear weapons would remain constant. Of course, he's right. Now we've got North Korea, we've got Iran, many other countries aspiring to get nuclear weapons. So, if anything, we can expect to see this threat increase. Well, we have a government now that has moved away from civil defense planning. Matter of fact, it doesn't even enter into their lexicon now. It is really oriented toward COG, C-O-G, continuity of government. So here's my take on this. The bottom line is the government, the federal government, for the foreseeable future, will not implement a civil defense project or any efforts. They used to put millions and millions of dollars into this. They used to have fully stocked, you know, fallout shelters and training and public service announcements. This really depends on us. We have to take the initiative as patriots, people who love our country. And he addresses this. He says, I'm very skeptical that any meaningful resurrection of any type of civil defense will happen. Again, looking at the history of civil defense, we can conclude that it took a major crisis, the Berlin blockade of 1961, for example, to motivate the federal government to make any significant improvements to civil defense. The civil defense budget skyrocketed in 1962 as the nation surveyed buildings for their suitability as fallout shelters and stocked these shelters with water, basic sanitation supplies, medical supplies, very austere food, and radiation survey equipment. So because this threat is increasing almost weekly now, the thought of this resurgence of the nuclear threat, I want to point you to a couple of podcasts that I did and postings that are up at amron.com for you to go and review and consider. One is titled Radiological Considerations, Monitoring and Reporting. And that was put up on March 10th of 2022, last year, March 10th. You can scroll back through the Amron, or just put in radiological in the search box at amron.com. That'll take you to this posting, Radiological Considerations, Monitoring and Reporting. And then another one that I posted later on in October 10th of 2022, is a posting at amron.com titled Nuclear War Situational Awareness and Survivability, because it is extremely survivable. I want to expound on this and revisit this topic because I've covered it quite a bit over the years, but it's also been a while since I've touched on this. And that is the civil defense component, not just dealing with your family and survivability, you know, right at your immediate location, but also working with leadership, which there will be a desperate need for, your clergy, those trusted patriot-minded leaders that you have in elected positions, or influential members of your community, people that the citizenry will listen to and will be looking to for answers and guidance, to begin the discussion with them on rebuilding and reforming some type of, you know, societal structure and rule of law and order and an semblance of a culture and society, especially since so many in this listening audience are communicators, you're radio operators, there's a very high chance that our conventional communications may not be available or may not be reliable or consistently reliable. And so you want to make sure that that they know that you're there to support them, to help with communications and coordinating with one another between communities and across, you know, state borders and county lines, that they'll be able to coordinate and communicate with each other. And that will depend on us. That's part of our, you know, that self-initiated civil defense that we need to start thinking about more, I think. Anyway, with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up here, and I will bring on Lady Liberty, get her in the studio here for segment four, coming right up. So stay right there, Patriots. We'll be right back.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment here at Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting from the Free Zones. And in this fourth and final segment, we've got in the studio with us, codename Lady Liberty, one each, also known as codename segment four. Good evening.
Well, good evening, everyone. And, well, always glad to be here.
Yes. Yeah. We've been covering a lot of stuff. As much as we can in the morning commute.
Yep.
Each morning out of Spokane. And
as much as we can pack in.
That 30 minutes goes so fast. It's just, it's a blur. We end up with a stack of stories and information and data that we never even get to.
It's true, you know, because so. we have to do hardcore prioritization, like what is the very most important, as well as the most encouraging and uplifting, because
that's right.
You know, when there's so much bad news, you also have to focus on our wins, you know, where the mass media that are liars, they want to focus on everything that is entirely demoralizing, and that's right. Intentional. That is part of their warfare. You know, that's an intentional
yes.
thing to continually point out, well, false statements of their successes and our losses.
Well, and it is also legitimate to feel disheartened to see what's happening to our country. I mean, you know, that's real. That's legitimate. But we also don't want to go into defeatist mode.
Right, exactly. In fact, Joshua Phillips of Crossroads in the Epoch Times, he asked this very important question. He said, are Americans losing the will to fight? And, you know, I have a horse training background, as some of you may know, but as a professional horse trainer, what a horse trainer will do with a horse in order to get like resistance-free training accomplished, is they will use a technique called flood, where they throw so many things at a horse so fast that the horse doesn't even have time to think. In fact, it gives up.
Can't process it.
It gives up. Yeah, it's too much. It's overwhelming. It gives up and then is forced to only react. And react to like a barrage of impulses, you know, to where basically this flood technique cuts off all of their resistance, and so they're only looking to respond as quickly as possible in order to try to, you know, try to do what the trainer is asking. And so that's what I'm seeing here is this flood. I mean, it's like...
Is that where something you would see, like, with a... Because I know all horses have their own personalities and everything. Is this something that would be used on a, say, a, let's call it a thinking horse? A horse that processes information better than others and he tries to think and you don't want him to? It's getting in the way of his training.
There's multiple different techniques, but this flood technique is used by quite a few different horse trainers. And the reason I'm even bringing this up is because the UC Davis has done multiple research studies that lasted about a decade where they show that a horse actually reasons the same way a human does. And so people have taken this to work with people, with other people as right. well, and in training. And they, in fact, the Queen of England, she employed a very, very famous horse trainer because she said, you know, that's exactly what we do with people. And so she hired him for more pointers on what they could use on people. And so, wow. So it's a fascinating thing to make the comparison because that's what we're seeing here. It's a technique. It's a technique where they suddenly flood you with so many awful things. It's a barrage where the people don't even really know what to do first because there's so many awful things happening all at once. This flood technique causes them to either shut down and just, you know, check out or just become like quiet and removed and just watching things and waiting for, you know, something to react to. And right. and so it's an overwhelm them with a huge barrage of awful things and everything that every communist wanted to get accomplished, it's all happening all at once.
Yeah.
And so that's why people are like giving up. They're checking out because it is flat out overwhelming.
Well, and then also the things that you traditionally have been able to depend on when there's a wrong, let's say your election gets stolen, you have a department of justice that will investigate it and get to the bottom of it.
Right.
And find out who's responsible and hold them accountable. And so they've flipped. They've protected those who were acting illegally. Those who were acting righteously are being hunted and pursued and prosecuted. And they accuse the righteous people of doing what the wicked people are doing.
Oh, right.
While
yep.
protecting the wicked actions. And that leads to despair. I mean,
yeah,
everywhere you've been able to traditionally turn to for help when this wrong has been done, the good guys, the FBI or the Department of Justice, right? They come and make things right. They investigate and get to the bottom of it and hold the wrongdoers accountable. And now it's flipped.
Right. And see, that's part of the resistance-free training where there's no fight back that happens anymore because they're overwhelmed. They're so overwhelmed that they just shut down and they quit fighting. And so I see this happening on a nationwide scale, and it's clearly a tactic. And so, you know, and I can't blame anyone because, like you said, when we've been able to rely on our legal system, and then suddenly you can't because you just found out, oh, guess what? They put all of their communist people in all those key positions, so we can't rely on that. And
right.
then you look over to the next level of control. You know, you've got the three executive branches, and you look at the next branch, and you go, "Oh my gosh, they pretty much took over that one too." And so, everywhere
right.
where there's been checks and balances, we no longer have those because they have stolen them. But you know, there are things that are still happening on our side, and that's why it's very important that we share them because otherwise, people will give up and they will lose hope right at the most critical hour, and we can't have that.
Right.
And so especially, I mean, with this huge barrage coming from every direction, we're going to have to understand that if we don't have our top layer protecting the bottom layer anymore, which is the citizenry, that means the whole world is coordinating against not our government, because our government is part of them now.
Right.
We've got the whole world coordinating against we, the American people, yeah, as citizens at, yeah, this point.
They've been, what's the word? Assimilated.
Well, right.
Into,
well,
the Borg.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. And now the Borg is all looking at us, you know.
Well, and even down to a kindergartner. I mean, it used to be that, you know, if a child molester tries to do something, you run and tell a teacher. Well, now all the teachers are perverts.
Right.
Right. And trying to get the kids to join in and tell them it's perfectly normal.
Boy, these,
you know, so,
yeah.
I mean, these are some really strange upside down times.
Well, and schools anymore could be likened to cheese graters. And I don't know what parent in their right mind would ever send their child into a cheese grater, because that's more or less what it is. And
like
it is
a wood chipper.
Yeah, exactly. It's meant to destroy your children. And anybody that has their kids in any public school anymore, I just can't understand what is wrong with them.
And scrutinize the Christian schools too, because they're woke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's at the point now that, really homeschooling is the only way that you can really ensure that, you know, that they're protected in their education.
Yeah. It's like taking your child to a zoo, dropping them off at the zoo and escorting them into the lion's cage.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it's like tossing your kid over the fence at the lion's cage. So,
yeah.
Well,
and that was not what I was going to share, but in fact, instead, I wanted to share the positive news where we are punching back and where we are gaining ground.
Good.
For example, in response to the Trump indictment, Republican Ohio Senator J.D. Vance says he'll hold up the DOJ nominees indefinitely.
Good.
He said, "We've got to show Merrick Garland there are consequences to using the Department of Justice in this way." And so he's flat out planning to just hold up the DOJ nominees indefinitely.
Well, that's what you and I have been saying. Not one of these appointees, I'm not even talking Department of Justice, I'm like anything, Department of Education, Department of Interior, anything. This is a communist coup. Every person that the Congress approves of, these appointees, are strengthening a communist regime.
Right.
I mean, they are all working against Americanism.
Yep.
You know, at the foundational level, our Constitution and who we are as America, they are... I think that's awesome. They should be holding up every appointee for every position.
Absolutely.
Indefinitely.
Every weapon that is at their disposal, they had better be using with full force.
Yes.
You know, because that's pretty much the only weaponry that the American people have at their disposal at this point, unless they take up arms. And truly, if you are the horse that is going through this resistance-free training, this flood technique, that's the only way a horse can ever actually pull out of that, is if they flat out lose it and decide they're going to go after that trainer. You know, if they decide, oh no, this flood technique, I'm not going to have it. And, you know, if the horse realized, I'm way bigger than that guy, I could stomp him into the dirt in about a half a second. Now,
yes.
If the horse ever realized that and did that, that horse would win.
Yeah.
And so, but it's the distraction and it's the flood and it's the huge barrage of the flood happening so fast that the people, the only way that they can really do it, short of these kind of things that we're seeing with the Senate and with the GOP House, if those people aren't able to hold back the tide and start turning things around, I mean, really, the communists are the ones that still have their finger on the electronic voting machine button.
Yes.
You know, where they just laugh. They're laughing so hard going, they're still going to run for office.
Yes.
What a joke. We've got the button right here that is going to dump all their votes and turn them to our candidate. It takes a half a second. And so they laugh and laugh and laugh. And we go, vote some more, vote some more.
Vote harder.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's an unfortunate thing that people would rather just close their eyes to the reality of what's going on and pretend that they can keep doing the same thing and get a different result.
Yep.
Right. And so truly, I am glad to see the Senate and, different senators and the House GOP doing these things, though.
And they're not letting off the pressure against Biden, the Biden crime family.
That's right. In fact, they're stepping it up.
Yeah. They're really pushing down hard on this. Yep. And, of course, the harder they do, the harder the left, the communists in this regime press against Trump.
Yeah.
He is the biggest threat besides the American people becoming that horse that realizes there's more of us, like in ants.
Yes.
You know, we outnumber the grasshoppers. You know, we vastly outnumber them.
Right.
They're afraid.
Yeah, the horse realizes he's way bigger, way more powerful than that little guy holding that little stupid rope.
They're so fearful of the ants waking up or the horse realizing that it doesn't have to take this.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
Yep. And it's just important for people to step back and realize that, though, instead of continuing to run around in the circle. Somebody's making you run around and throwing things at you left and right, and just making you react as fast as possible instead of actually taking on the guy that is throwing these things at you.
Right.
And so there was one other thing that I wanted to cover quickly, which is this comes from the Epic Times as well. The Border Patrol agents record 1,000% increase in illegal immigrants from nations, including China and Afghanistan.
Oh, boy.
And so, this is just within the last month and a half, it's up 1,000% from our at least one of our biggest enemies, China. Afghanistan is probably number three. You know, I'd say between Afghanistan and Iran, they would tie for number three. But China and Afghanistan up 1,000% at the border.
That's pretty scary.
That's darn scary.
Mm. Well. And that's the scenario that the T-Rex is running on this year. Saboteurs who have come across the border.
That's right.
From Maoistan.
Maoistan, that's right.
The fictitious country of Maoistan.
Right. Has nothing to do with Winnie the Pooh land, right?
Oh, no. No, it's purely hypothetical. Right. You know, it's just strictly a grid, just a communications exercise.
Well, that's true. That is true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, thank you for those updates and for the encouragement. Yeah, is encouraging to see that they are fighting and they are going to. I'm not everybody has folded.
Well, no, and in fact, I mean, there's also been some other great things that just happened with a former congressman from Pennsylvania. He just got charged and prosecuted and is now doing.
Like 30 months?
Yes, 30. He just got a 30-month sentence for ballot stuffing. That was his part in the election fraud, was massive ballot stuffing that he did 4 years in a row. So he actually was sentenced. He was sentenced just like the Miami mayor. He was charged with 4 felony accounts of election fraud, and he's being charged with it and going through it. So I'm just glad to see that the law is working in certain places and people are being prosecuted for it.
Those are those jurisdictions that Soros couldn't quite pull off having enough influence.
Right, exactly.
Awesome. I love it. Well, thank you for those updates. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, you have a great week and join us every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute. Otherwise, We'll talk to you next Sunday night for episode 23-16. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.